Well, good morning. How do we all feel about sin? Do we still do it? If we're Christian, how should we respond to sin? Well, if you're a Christian with us here this morning, you'll know what it's like to be a sinner who's saved by Christ and yet still really struggle against sin today. And I think that's why our text from Romans, which we just had read out for us and we've just read, is a really much loved part of the Bible for many Christians, including many Christians I've spoken to recently at church, because it deals exactly with that, how Christians should respond to sin now. But whether it's much loved or really well known to us, or perhaps we don't know it at all, if we listen closely today, we will all get some good reminders that we all need to hear, and we might find some surprises as well. So do make sure we listen carefully. So let's get into that now by praying for God's help so that we might see with fresh eyes or new eyes even as we seek to go deeper into God's word. So let's pray. Loving God, gracious Father, thank you for the truth you have given us about slavery, sin and grace. Please give us eyes to see what you are telling us from it, that we would respond and be changed accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So chapter 6 of Romans, which we started looking at last week, deals with how Christians should respond to sin now. Having been already saved by Jesus, and so therefore always safe in him. So being saved by God's grace, we don't deliberately sin more now, thinking that there'll be even more grace in verses 1 to 14. And today, from our text in verses 15 to 23, being under God's grace instead of the law, we're to stop sinning now, and not to keep sinning just because we're not under the law. And so don't face sin's final penalty in the end. Should we keep sinning? By no means. Or as another Bible has it, God forbid it. Instead, Christians are now free by God's grace to be his slaves. And that's our key takeaway message for us today. We are set free to be God's slaves, to lovingly obey him wholeheartedly. So we're set free by God to be his slaves, so we will obey him wholeheartedly. And knowing this, we should all walk away today, living this truth today and every day. And the Apostle Paul helps us to see and understand this truth with an example that we're all going to get, and that example is slavery. Now, he does say in verse 19, it's not a perfect example, as no human example or analogy is. But it's one that we'll all get, and it actually gets really to the heart of the truth here. And that slavery analogy is developed in three ways in our text. The first being, we're all slaves of the one we obey, in verses 16 to 15. We're free to offer ourselves completely in verses 19 to 22. And finally, we've received God's gift in Jesus in verse 23. So our first point being, we're all slaves of the one we obey in verses 16 to 18. Now we all get that idea of slavery that's being drawn out here. You know, being under someone's control or having to obey whatever they want or whatever their will is, and whether we actually want to or not. Well, it's that idea of obedience that's being drawn out in verse 16. Or as R.W. Hughes says, obedience is the universal hallmark of slavery. Slavery then is all about obedience. And if you obey, then you're a slave. Today we can feel that slavish obedience in many ways, be it to our demanding bosses at work, perhaps demanding families at home, or even, you know, feeling really enslaved by what other people think of us. Or maybe that's how we relate to money or how we pursue our super funds for retirement. It could even be that obedience to those raging emotions and impulses within us, such as pride or anger or arrogance. So we kind of get the idea of obedience slavery even today in our lives and modern society. But what really surprises in verse 16 is the truth that while we may feel a sense of slavery in many ways today, there are ultimately only two slaveries that we're all under. If you obey anything other than God, then you're actually a slave to sin. There's no middle ground, no neutrality, and you can't somehow be a bit of obedience to one or the other or a bit of both. As Jesus says elsewhere in Luke 13 to 16, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Now, before we're tempted to be dismissive or even feel a bit defensive in hearing this truth, let's just remember what sin is to start with. Christopher Ashe says, sin is everything other than the worship of God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. And remember, we worship God today not with our sacrifices or even our singing at church on Sunday. And just for the record, 8 a.m. singing, always fantastic. But that's not just how we worship God. Today, how we worship God is with our faith and obedience to Him every day, everywhere, not just at church on a Sunday. So we're all slaves of either sin or God, but being a slave leads only to death. Slave to sin only leads to death. And only being a slave of God leads to eternal life. And I think deep down we all want life, an eternal life. So thanks be to God then. All Christians can cry out just as verse 17 says, because God has freed us from sin to be able to no longer have to obey sin. Instead, we can obey God and His teaching because He has given us an allegiance or entrusted us to or given us a devotion or love for His word. That saving freedom and allegiance God has given in His righteousness and grace alone in saving anyone who turns back to Him and receives Jesus as their personal Lord and Saviour. And we also read in verse 17, which you might like to see for yourselves now, you wholeheartedly obeyed, or obeyed from the heart. So knowing this truth, Christians are to live it out as a result by offering or presenting ourselves wholeheartedly in complete obedience to God with everything we've got. Which brings us to our second point today, being we're free to offer ourselves completely in verses 19 to 22. So by God's grace, Christians have the means to obey God, now being free from slavish obedience to sin. And God also gives us clear motivation to want to obey Him now as well. Because not only are Christians on the path to eternal life, but obedience to God is good for us right now. We see this explained in verses 19 to 22 from the comparison and contrast of the two slaveries, either of sin or of God, that we're all under. Now, both slaveries do involve some freedom, but they simply could not be heading to more different consequences. So being sin slaves does mean freedom from the control of righteousness and obeying God, But that slavery only leads to final death and in the end, and also a vicious cycle of guilt and shame and more lawlessness or more sinfulness that happens right now. And we all know that sinking and inescapable feeling of that vicious cycle of guilt and shame and more sinfulness, including for Christians, just from something like our relationships every day that we have with all manner of people, including other Christians and even with God. And how in our relationships and how we can treat others, we can still treat them unlovingly and sinfully just because often we might give in to our pride or our anger, or maybe even our fears and anxieties. It's like sin feeds off sin, bringing more sin, and it only makes the problem bigger and doesn't go away. So we can all feel like we're in a vicious cycle of sin now that can feel so hard to break or get away from. But thanks and praise be to God. For we see in verse 22, read now for yourself and see. And depending on what version you're reading, but now you have been set free from sin and become slaves of God. The benefit or fruit you reap leads to holiness or sanctification, and the result is eternal life. Being God's slaves means not only freedom from sin and all it brings, obedience to God brings an experience right now of the steady course to holiness, which is the process of sanctification by God's Spirit constantly at work in us right now, doing the otherwise impossible by making us into a permanently holy state and giving us that permanently holy character. So as Ash puts it nicely, in terms of our part, we've been set free. So let's act free. And we act free by obeying Jesus completely with all of our members and parts. That's all of our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our hearts and emotions given over to God in complete obedience to Him. But let's be honest, as Christians, we're not perfect, far from it, until Christ comes again. And I dare say, if we are tempted to think that, yeah, you know, I think I'm perfect, we might just want to take another hard, long, honest look at ourselves. So Christians, we're not perfect. But let's not pretend that we're perfect or get discouraged or lose hope and be tempted to give up obeying God because we're not perfect yet. Instead, even though that steady course that we're on of spiritual growth to holiness sometimes feels more like a bumpy road of ups and downs and forwards but backwards, let's not trust in our human feelings or even our emotion alone, but cling onto every promise of God's word alone and not give up trying to obey Him. Let's keep living lives of repentance and faith in Jesus, in lovingly trusting and obeying Him, something we can do in faith by God's grace and the ongoing transformative work of the Spirit in us now, right now. Now that's amazing grace and one serious gift that we've been given from God, and one we all so sorely need to hear. You know, I must admit, I do really need God's grace as well, just like everyone else. And God, in his mercy, has shown this to me just in all that wedding planning that's been going on. And as Len reminded us, as my church family, you're all invited to that wedding next Saturday. And Tricia and I, my fiance, really do hope you'll be there. Tricia, who you've met already and who's actually joining us here at 8 a.m. after the wedding. So do come if you can. So even though I know in all that wedding planning that everyone trying to help us just loves us and wants our best and for the day to go smoothly, I've seen how I can still hit out in anger and stubbornness, in pride at just not getting my way or things not going according to our plans. And that, to be honest, fills me with guilt and shame, and often just makes me more angry and more stubborn. All of this, as much as I don't want it, and as hard as I try not to, because I do love others, and I do want growing, loving relationships with them well beyond a wedding day. But above all, it gives me guilt and shame because I know that when I sin, I disobey God, and I love God above all and the most. But by grace alone, his grace, I don't give up. As much and many times that I might want to. And it has actually gotten better. And that is truly the grace of God. But I'm still tempted now, even to this day, even with it just coming up next Saturday. But by his grace, I keep trusting in hope. I keep asking for his forgiveness and for the forgiveness of others. And I cry out for God's help. You know, God provides in every way for us to love him and obey him better and to be more loving, more gracious to others as well. So God has given us this gift, and given us this gift in Jesus, which brings us to our final point today, that we've received this gift in Jesus in verse 23. Look with me in your Bibles at the last verse of our text in verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a short verse, but let's just look at it more closely, more carefully, before we wrap everything up and close today. It's simply too rich and too essential that we don't want to miss it, and we simply can't overlook it. So what is this gift? Well, this gift is the gift of divine grace. God's divine grace to give us, who only deserve death, everlasting life in Jesus instead. We've been given eternal life now and real life in obeying God. And as we started the Christian life under grace, only by God's grace, we shouldn't keep sinning or be tempted to start living under the law again. In other words, let's not start thinking our need to obey God is just up to us or all up to us, and possibly get discouraged by the burden of that enormous task of obeying God, or perhaps even getting a little self-righteous as well. No, that would be like trying to take up our need for salvation into our own hands, or trying to live the Christian life but somehow without Christ. Impossible. Yes, we need to obey God, but first we need God's grace to obey him. And remember, he has given us his sufficient and enabling grace in all things having given us Jesus, and now his Holy Spirit at work in us. So as Christians now under grace, let's individually and together in fellowship as God's church keep warring against sin and striving for full obedience to God every day, always and only trusting in Jesus who saves. So how about we wrap all this up for today and close in prayer? We started by thinking about how Christians who are sinners saved by Jesus should respond to him and how they should respond to sin. Now that they've been saved and always safe in him and under grace. We've seen that truth today from Romans 6, that by God's grace, Christians have been set free to be God's slaves, to wholeheartedly obey him. Thanks be to God. Let's turn to him and give him all the praise. My fellow Christians, God has set us free. By his grace, let's act free. Let's close now in prayer, in which I'll echo the words of a worship song that I really love called Undivided. So let's pray. Almighty God, gracious Father, we come to you giving thanks as your slaves. Please forgive us when we rebel in all our days. Grant us only love for and obedience to your word, and please, Father, we pray, undivided, we want to live for you. Single-minded, all that we say, all that we do, sanctify us, take us, and make us new, that we might live for Christ our Lord. Please, Father, make this true for all of us here today and every day, we pray. In Jesus' name, and for his sake and glory, we pray. Amen.